Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, rarely in the scriptures do we have an opportunity like we do here this morning where Jesus goes back and he explains the parable in such detail. He leaves no room for interpretation in the parable. The meaning is clear and concise. So why is it then that so many people take the parable the wrong way? I mean, Jesus is clear. He's transparent that there shouldn't be any reason as to why we get it wrong, but we do. I mean, haven't you heard people exhort you to be the good soil? Haven't you heard people tell you to make sure that you're bearing fruit the way good soil does? Haven't you heard people tell you don't be the bad soil or don't be the path? I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're hearing the word of God, the word of the kingdom, and you're purposefully rejecting it, then you are making yourself to be bad soil in some way. You are. You can absolutely move down the rungs like that. And we kind of do this all the time, right? I mean, you can take a passage from the scriptures. Like say, when Paul says that a woman should not teach in the church, and you just say, that's not really my cup of tea. That was really only meant for that time. Or Paul was a misogynist, right? Or what about the passages on homosexuality? Haven't you heard Christians try to disregard those passages by saying that love trumps anything else? Or what about the passages on murder? Haven't you heard Christians, and in this moment I'm thinking of politicians who identify as Christians, try to equivocate when it comes to the issue of abortion? See, what passage of the word do you struggle with in this way? Is there something, anything that Jesus says, or that Paul says, or that Moses says, or that any of the authors of the entire scriptures who were all inspired by the Holy Spirit, is there anything that you don't like? Anything that you have trouble with? I mean, I guess it is your freedom. You can do this, I suppose. It's your freedom to reject the word. Yet by doing so, you are rejecting the word of God, and you are no longer holding to right teaching. It's true. So you can make it so that if you reject the word of the kingdom, I mean, you can do that, I guess, if that's what you want to do. You can reject that word. Go ahead. You can make yourself bad soil. When I say you make yourself bad soil, I'm not just talking about like too high and something. I'm kind of talking about like a place a dog would visit multiple times during the winter. Okay? I mean, don't think, please don't think that God wants that for you. See, the interpretation of the parable, it hinges not on the soil, but on the sower. God himself is the sower, and he lavishly spreads the seed of his word upon all people, no matter where they are. Actually, this is the way that he does this. This is a very common practice back in Jesus' time. Today, you know, you see the farmers out there, and they dig these long rows, and they come in, and they plant the seed, and then there's something that comes and covers over the seed, right? Okay. Back in Jesus' time, what would happen is you would just till the ground. Usually a team of oxen would come and you would just plow the entire ground and knock it up. And then you would broadcast the seed out by hand, reaching into your pouch and just spreading and throwing. And you have to do this, otherwise you lose kind of the place that you're at, right? It's just constant. And then what you would come back in and you would either re-till the soil, or you would somehow bring more soil out and dump it onto that seed. And whatever sits there, sits. Whatever takes, takes. This is what God does as he spreads his word of the gospel to all. He takes his word and he takes it and puts it in the nail-pierced hands of Jesus, who then just throws it out and the seed goes everywhere. all over the world. And then he comes back and he covers it up with his own blood. You see how great the Father's love is here? He gives his word to those who will not understand it because they don't want to. He gives his word to those who would trust in princes rather than in the king. He gives his word to those who would chase after the lusting of their own hearts. He gives his word to the one who would seek after his own knowledge and truth. And he gives his word to the one who seeks after God's knowledge and truth. You see, our God is so good and loving that he doesn't withhold his word from any person, ever. Yet by the actions of their hearts and their minds and their strengths, they reject the word. That's not the fault of the sower. That's the fault of the sinner. God's word is completely efficacious. That means that the word of God is always going to do what he wants it to do. It will cause faith to sprout up in the hearts of anyone who hears it. But because we're slaves to sin and death and the devil, our tendency is to choke that faith out, to starve it. That's what we want to do. So when you hear the word of God, dear Christian, this morning, don't choke it out. Receive it. If it's difficult to understand, meditate upon it. Seek the help of somebody who can help you understand it. And if you disagree with what the word of God says, keep your mouth quiet. Repent. Desire to believe what it says. And don't teach contrary to it until the day comes when your heart has been transformed by the grace of God to accept the difficulty of it. It's hard sometimes. This is how, by the way, we continue to make good Lutherans out there of other people who are coming from the outside. We teach them, yes? We teach them what the Word of God says, and we teach it plainly and clearly. But sometimes they come to us with difficulties in believing what it is that we believe. Is this really the Lord's body and blood for me? Because it just looks like bread and wine. Does baptism really save? And moreover, could it save even an infant who can't assent to faith? Do we really believe that Jesus is with us? Do we really believe that we'll be raised from the dead? And you see, these things are there, and I think for most of us here, we just accept these as, yeah, that's like the cornerstones of the Christian faith, right? But you see, that's hard for people. And yet still, forgiven by Christ, they desire to know more. So you know what you do? You bear with them in patience. You teach them the truth. And you ask them, do you want to believe this, though it be hard? And you pray that by faith, the answer is yes. And you continue to instruct them and pray for them and will continue to strengthen them through Christ until the day comes when they accept that as truth. Now, this isn't just, you know, about the doctrines of God as we think of them. It's not just about the ecclesiology, right, the doctrine of the church. Or it's not about the role of women in the church. It's not about whether gay men and women can be in the church. It's not about the doctrines of justification and sanctification and conversion. This is really about, when we get down into the heart of it, the gospel of Jesus. Now, the truth is, when somebody has faith, the Holy Spirit is going to continue to work in them to understand all things that are in the Scripture. But what if they choke out faith to begin with? What if we choke it out as we progress through life? You see, the truth is, there are people who struggle with the idea that Jesus Christ died for all. They struggle with this. But the struggle is okay. The truth is that Jesus lived for you. That he died for you, that he was resurrected for you, and that he promises to give you everlasting life, that in him all of your sins are forgiven, and in him then you're welcomed into the eternal kingdom of God. That is all true. That's all true. By grace through faith, you know this. You're baptized. You know this. As baptized believers in Christ, you know that the Lord has died for you. You know that he's washed you clean from your sins in baptism. You know that he feeds you with his body and blood at the supper to strengthen you unto life everlasting. You know this. You know that you're forgiven. You know that you're blessed. You know that you're welcome. You know that you're cared for by him in this place. You know it's true. But we sometimes do still struggle. And sadly, there are some out there who will reject this. I mean, you know people, right? Who hear the news of Jesus Christ and just flat out kind of reject it, right? You probably know people, too, who hear the news of Jesus Christ and think, that's a great thing. I love this. But then they kind of fall away, right? You know many who struggle so hard with what the church teaches that they leave. You know many who would rather chase after the riches of the world than the goodness of God. Today I'm going to tell you, don't be one of those people. If you would like to be soil in which the root of faith grows, don't do those things. Don't love the world. Don't love your own thoughts over the Word of God. Don't stop coming to this place. You see, we really cannot make ourselves into better soil. You can't do it. God has already made you good soil. How can you make yourself better? See, even if you were the path, you would have no more strength from the path to good soil to do that than you could go down under the foundation of this church and lift the building. In fact, I'll tell you this. It would be easier for you to go to Mount Everest and push it up 20 times than it would be for you to make yourself believe in Jesus Christ. See, only he can change you. Only he can make that faith grow up inside of you. And that's what he does when he broadcasts the seed, right? He's going to give to all of the ground, the faith which would make them well. But we make ourselves weak. We give in to the struggle against sin, death, and the devil. And we make ourselves weak and we make ourselves dead. The reality is, all of us have been delivered from death by Christ already. It's been done. It happened. Right? We almost can pinpoint the date, almost 2,000 years ago that happened. There are people who have heard the good news of Jesus, but they give into the desires of the world rather than trusting in their Lord's love for them, his forgiveness for them. Now, if you're struggling this morning, there is grace in the struggle. There is. If you're struggling with the Word of God, there is grace for you because it shows that the heart of faith knows what God says, wants to believe God at his Word, and is struggling with the sinful flesh. You see, if you're struggling, you have faith. If you're not struggling, you probably just don't care anymore, right? If you're struggling, doesn't that show that you have faith? But don't stop struggling. There are things that I struggle with in the Scripture, if I can be honest with you today. I wish that every single person on the face of the earth would be saved. I wish that I believed in what's called universalism. I wish that that were true. Because I don't want anybody to go to hell. I wish that that were true. But that's not. You see, that's my own struggle. Jesus says he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And my sinful flesh says, we can do better than that, right? But that's what I struggle against. It is, it's true. I don't know what it is for you, but I know we all have something in that way. So be strengthened in this place. Seek after the Lord. Ask the pastor. Pray for endurance. Don't stop struggling. I can see some shocked faces out there. Don't be surprised that your pastor struggles with faith sometimes. Jesus and his path are hard. They're hard to follow. And the world comes at you with missiles trying to bring you down. But we look to our Lord. We trust in his promises and his word. That's why you have to study the word, to know it, to love it, and to know what is truth and what is not truth. Because I can tell you, anything that my sinful flesh speaks to me is not going to be the truth. See, when we stop struggling, we lose the battle for our souls. And we follow after our master which is sin. But as we struggle, as we pray, as we hope, we look to Jesus, we follow the one who is our master and Lord. You see, if I'm going to have a master, I guess that means that I'm a slave. And I would rather be a slave in the house of God than dwell freely in the mansions of evil. And that's not because of my strength, but it's because the word of God is sweeter than honey. It is richer than milk, and it is better than any news of the world. It's true. The word is good. When we look at the world, when we look at the struggles we go through, I think that these temptations, they seem to gleam more brightly than anything else that's out there, right? But I think that's because our sinful heart covers us in such darkness that anything looks beautiful. Our sinful hearts tell us lies. It tells us that our sin is sweeter than God. And we struggle with this. We should want to give up the works of darkness. We should want to bear fruit of faithfulness. And because of that, we know, and I know for you, that the Word of God is for you, and that Jesus is for you. And you can know that. See, don't make yourself worse. Let Jesus make you better. He has already done that, and he continues to do that. He continues to keep you in his Word, and he always will. Because forgiveness and life and salvation are found in his church. And in his church, this is where the good soil is always to be found. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes your hearts and your minds, now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.